You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. It's James, and today I'm going to get into it with Paul May. Paul May just dropped the Dry Bar comedy special, so we want to have him on and talk about it. Dry Bar has been huge. It's been blowing up lately, so we wanted to have, you know, we want to talk to as many comedians that are doing Dry Bar as possible. One, it gives you insight on what's going on with Dry Bar, and it gives me insight on how to get my stuff ready for Dry Bar. I'm very excited about that. So that's one of the goals of 2022. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go check it out. But please welcome the very funny, the very talented Mr. Paul May. Here we go. All right, Paul, well, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So your Dry Bar special just dropped yesterday. And yep. It was a while in the making because I know there was been issues with Dry Bar. What was the time frame between when you recorded it and when it actually dropped, which was yesterday?
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's this way with everybody, but I actually shot my Dry Bar on February, I think 21st or 22nd of 2020. Obviously, you know what happened after that in March, pandemic, pandemonium, everything just shut down. And so with that, the specials, I think, kind of got put on hold on the back burner as well. And then Dry Bar partnered up with a major distribution company, and then they were redoing their app for that, for subscriptions. And so they weren't releasing any new specials until they got that reformatted. So 2 years for me before my special came out. But I'm excited that they got the new format. It's a really good platform, and just very thankful to have the opportunity.
I mean, 2 years, that is a long time to wait for a special to come out.
Yeah. Like, I've gotten grayer since then.
That's the thing, is like, we are used to comedians getting specials like every year and a half, every 2 years. But when you record it and then you have to wait 2 years for that to even come out, that's
yeah. Because there are several comedians that had gone way before I did that I personally knew, and I knew when they shot theirs, and like, man, you're all special going to come out soon. Like, well, they said it's going to be, and then you know, so it was just kind of like a little trickle down. And then finally got to my time. And so again, it's out. So at least it's out. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, that's exciting. Oh, I meant to ask this. I don't think I asked anybody else's. Do you get to pick the name of the special? Like, do you get to pick the actual name and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah. They give you a questionnaire, what you want to title it. They'll ask you certain things, because whenever you do the Dry Bar special, you're actually shooting it twice. So you have, I think it was a 6 o'clock show and an 8 o'clock show, and you get it about 20 minutes each. And with that Dry Bar special, you have the opportunity to do the same material that you did in your first set, exactly the same in the second, or you can kind of change it up a little bit, which, you know, for me, that's kind of what I did, just to kind of see what, you know, landed better. And I don't know, I don't remember, just because it's been 2 years, if they took anything that I did differently from the first and mixed it with the second. I honestly couldn't tell you because it's been so long.
Oh, wow. That's wild. Like, because I was wondering if you'd be able to spot when which was which or what you did. That's right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then you get some kind of creative say in, oh, I want to cut this joke, or I want to keep this joke, or anything like that. And how much of that do they listen to when you?
Yeah, obviously they own the rights to the special per contract and stuff, but they do allow you input just as far as what you liked, what you felt comfortable with, as far as the crowd response, or, you know, sometimes you be up there and you kind of stumble over your words a little bit, you know, like that. And so, I kind of messed that joke up a little bit in the first one, but I really liked how it delivered in the second, just little things like that. And that's why they allow you to go to two performances, so you can kind of be able to correct it whenever they make the special out of it.
Now, with the two performances, I've never done two back-to-back shows or anything like that, but with that, did you feel like, I have to nail it in the second one because I didn't feel, I wanted the first one was okay, or vice versa, like, oh, I nailed on the first one, so I can kind of cruise on the second one. Like, what was the feeling there between those two?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a little bit of feeling like, okay, what can I do better in the second one that maybe I missed in the first? But again, like you said, if you feel like you did well in the first, then you're like, okay, The second is just going to be icing on the cake, and I could take, you know, what works best out of that and combine the two. But like I said, you know, with doing it twice, I honestly don't know if they mix or if they just took all of my second set and ran with it. I couldn't even tell you. It's like I said, it's been 2 years. I didn't even write down my set list of what I did in each. And of course, that's just me doing that. So
that's wild. Well, because you do a lot of act outs in your set, which is really good. Like your closer has a lot of act outs in it. And that's what made it extra funny. Like, yeah, the story's funny, but the act outs and right. The way that you move and stuff made it so funny. Is that something that you practice the act outs before you do it, or as you're building that bit, or even in the moment, do those act outs?
Yeah. Well, before I even transitioned into stand-up comedy, my background was acting, and I did a lot of sketch comedy, even like serious situational dramatic pieces and stuff like that. So animation has never been a problem for me. And to me, that's a strength that you can use if you have that in your repertoire to use to enhance a joke or a bit. You know, if you ever watch Brian Regan, some of his jokes aren't necessarily jokes, but it's how he told it. Right. And his facial expression. And so I tend to use that. And then whenever I did the dry bar, I was married to a clock. You know, I had 20 minutes total on each one. And so if you ever come to just a live show, I'm a little bit more at liberty just to really take a joke to the next level and even maybe get the crowd involved in it. And then there's a lot of improv or even taglines that maybe transpired because of it.
Now, do they dissuade you from doing any kind of crowd work? So if you're like a crowd work comedian, like would they dissuade that, or is that something that they're okay with, or how do they
not, talk not necessarily, you? But because it's your special, you don't want to just have a special where you're just doing a crowd work thing or then, cause you could do that anytime. They want to see your material. And so that's kind of what I stuck to, just to kind of do the material. And obviously there were some moments that I could interject, as you saw in my special with the crowd, especially when I was doing that, the 1980s bit. I had a couple of millennial girls like, I don't understand the song. I don't know what's, you know, and so in which the eight people that grew up, you know, as an 80s kid like myself, they just loved it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There was good response to that. And yeah, you could hear the crowd, like part of the crowd was like, what's going on? The other crowd was part of the crowd was laughing because they got it. So it was really funny that you did it. And then I love that you did that you reference that and you do this story kind of piece with it, with the song. And I was like, man, that's really genius. What was the hardest part of the dry bar special for you? Like, what was the thing that made you a little concerned or maybe worried about doing it?
Well, that was actually my first live special. So just the anxiety of, you know, man, I don't want to mess this up. I, you know, just kind of the waiting, it's that hurrying up to wait moment, you know? Yeah. And then once the curtains open, the crowd's clapping, everything, you just kind of fall back into what you know and do it. And get through it. And like I said, they were very professional, great, great experience. You know, all the way around, on and off the stage, they were really professional to work with.
That's what I keep hearing. I keep hearing that group is just so amazing, that everyone at Dry Bar is just so supportive. They want to put out this good content. They want to bring clean comedy to a lot of people. They're gonna be, I think, bigger than Netflix as far as comedy goes. I think they even have more specials than Netflix, if I remember right.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're the largest clean comedy circuit that I know of. I don't think there's anything out there as far as like when it comes to clean comedy library of what they got, and they're, you know, continually to grow from here.
Yeah, and so, I'm pretty sure they do like shows like every weekend or something and stuff. So I mean, they're constantly making content.
And their influence and their platform's gotten bigger than, because it's not just an app now. I mean, it's streaming on, you know, all your, you know, television devices, from Peacock to Roku and Apple TV, all that kind of good stuff. So there's a lot more ways to watch it now than just the app downloaded on your phone.
So wait, so Dry Bar is on Peacock. So if you get the Peacock, you get the Dry Bar comedy stuff on there too.
I haven't checked. I don't have Peacock myself personally, but just from what I've seen of how they get their media and stuff out, or their show specials out there, Peacock was listed. So I don't know if it's just if you have a subscription or what that looks like. But yeah, I just know on the live stream, and they kind of give it not live stream, but the television streaming, they give it a little bit more options than just your app.
That's so cool. That's such a cool thing that we're getting that kind of content everywhere. As far as I someone mentioned this to me recently that they also stream on like Sirius XM satellite radio, that then they take the audio content and put it on Sirius XM satellite radio. Is that something, is that an additional revenue stream for you, or is that just an additional revenue stream for them? How does that work?
I know, I'm not sure about the audio portion. I would assume so. I know whenever they have the special, you have a tip option at the end of the series. Okay. You know, people can give a tip and things like that. But also with the new format with the subscription base, like because of my show release and everything, whenever I promote or they promote, anybody that doesn't have that app and they put Paul May in the promo code, then they get a first month subscription free. I think it's like $5.99 after that. But as that continues to happen, everything, I get a kickback based on that promo code subscription. So the more people that do it under my name and stuff like that, then eventually I get a check from Drybar or whatever company, VidAngel or whoever, whoever sends the checks and everything. Awesome. I'll get some sort of kickback with that. So.
That's awesome. That's got to be so much fun just to do that now. And you get to, you can use the video for promotional material. You can use it to get bookings and stuff like that. Right. Do you know anybody? I've talked to other comedians and they said it has helped a lot. Do you know anybody kind of in your circle that's helped boost their shows and their tours and all that kind of stuff as well?
Oh yeah. Just being able to use Drybar as a credit and everything gives you kind of a little bit of instant credibility in the sense like, okay, that's a professional, streaming service and everything. And so, oh, they did a Drybar. So they're more apt to take a look at you and you can use it as an opportunity rather than just say, hey, I got this open mic for you to watch and, you know, want to come to your place. Will you let me, you know? So it does help in that avenue to kind of give a little bit of credibility.
Now, what other kind of content are you doing now? What other kind of stand-up things do you have going on or tours do you have going on currently?
Sure. Post-pandemic, I know we're still kind of in the pandemic. We're actually doing live shows again. So for a while, everything was on hold, but I'm doing some of my regular shows. Got some stuff coming up out of state that I'll do North Carolina, South Carolina. I got a show this weekend in Paducah, Kentucky. And so I got my regular stand-up, but last October, I had a comedian friend message me, say, hey, would you be interested in doing a redneck comedy bus tour? I'm like, what is a redneck comedy bus tour? Do I look like a redneck to you? You go, no, but you'd be a character and you could tell your own jokes and like that. So I looked them up just to kind of check it out. And it's a company that started in Nashville about 15 years ago.
Wow,
okay. And they just recently put one in Branson, which I live in Springfield, Missouri. Branson is just like a 40-minute drive for me. And so basically it's like a comedy show on wheels. It's a converted school bus that they painted camouflage. It's all decorated inside, and then they have a Texas Longhorn as their ornament, the hood ornament. And I got a microphone and I got an audience of about 36. You can fit 36 people on that bus. And so I got an audience for 36 people for about 2 hours. And so I get to do any kind of bits or little entertainment factors that I want with that. And so I could try out new material. I could do old material. I could just banter back and forth with the audience. And so it really is a good avenue. It's kind of like an open mic on wheels in a sense, because I can test out anything and just see what kind of response, like, oh, that's good. I'm gonna do that in my regular stand-up show. And so it's a good thing because it allows me to continue to work on my craft, because they run 7 days a week. So it's income that I'll make there. And we do about 2 to 3 tours a day.
Wow.
And so that's added money there. And then if I do want to go and do some travel with some of my shows, all I got to do is have another comedian say, hey, I can't do this weekend, or then can you cover for me? And then I got the luxury just to travel. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
So you get to do it. You do it in 2 hour blocks. It's just you for 2 hours with the tour and stuff.
Yeah. Me and a bus driver. And of course we'll have a little pit stop along the way and a few little sightseeing things and stuff. But yeah, it's just, and I get to, I'm like you, Larry the Cable Guy, I just kind of take on a character and I'll have a little Southern talk. Hey, y'all, you guys great? Have a good time. We're going to have all the redneck tour bus. We're going to have a good time here today, And so I just put on an act, but you know, I get to tell my same jokes, but as a redneck.
That's so cool. That's such a cool idea. I wish I lived back in Texas because I would be like, hey, let's get this and go in like San Antonio or Austin, right, or something like that, where you would do a lot of sightseeing in a city and just drive around and do stuff like that. That's cool. And so do you also have to know information about the places you're going? Like, do you have to do like tour guidey kind of stuff like they would in like New York tour buses?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, especially in Branson and everything. But that's the luxury of my bus driver. So my bus driver has a mic too. And he, the bus driver that I work with, are you familiar with Roy Clark? Remember him from Hee Haw?
Yeah, I've heard that name. Yeah.
So he was Roy Clark's banjo and keyboardist for 21 years and stuff.
Wow.
And then he was also an entertainer in Branson for several years. So he knows all the ins and outs of Branson. So I just kind of, I'll tell the jokes, and I just kind of turn over the storytelling and the touristy stuff to him. And it's a good chemistry. Works out real well.
Dang. This makes me think of like, I also like, this might be good in LA, Angeles, like, but I, you know, redneck probably wouldn't sell as well out here.
Right.
But something else.
The yuppie comedy tour. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you do, but yeah, that's kind of a good idea. I might reach out to these guys and say, hey, a partnership and do something in LA. Like, because there's a ton of comedians out here. Two, there's tons of places to go sightsee. And then three, you know, you have plenty of tourists from all over the country too that come that want to see stuff that may be a fun thing to do. And I know like tour buses are big in like New York. Like, I've taken those tour buses.
Yeah.
But they're usually, yeah, not ran by comedians. They're usually ran by just, you know, regular people or whatever and stuff. So this is very interesting.
Get on the Holly Weird Comedy Bus Tour.
There you go. The Holly Weird Comedy Bus Tour. You just did it. You just did it. That's trademarked. We're trademarking. Paul and I are trademarking right now.
There you go.
That's awesome. Well, where can people find you? Where can they find more of your comedy? Where can they find out when you're going to be touring? And is there on the site, does it allow you to go look and see who's running a tour so they know when you'll be the tour guide or not? Or does it not do that?
No, it doesn't have that that luxury and stuff. Okay. Like, there's four comedians and stuff, and we kind of pick our days differently and stuff. So they never really know who's on what. So, but yeah, they just got to roll the dice and take a chance on me. All right. Okay, I got him today.
And then where can people find you?
Any of the social media sites at Paul May Comedy. You can find me there. And then again, for those of you that may not have Drybar as an app, you can download that on your phone. And if you type in Paul May in the promo code, you'll get that first month free. And then watch my special, but there's all kinds of great quality, clean comedians on there that you guys will be entertained for days.
Yeah, and I'll put the promo code in the link. So if you guys are listening to this or you're watching it on YouTube, the link will be there. So you guys can just link to it, go to Paul's thing and be able to you know, help him out and get a free month of Drybar, which honestly, once you get 1 month of Drybar and you start watching it, you realize there's so many comedians on there that you want to watch and keep watching. And there are a ton of people that I know, probably that you know, Paul. And then it's just like amazing to see our friends or people that we do shows with say, oh my gosh, they got a special. They're doing this, you know? Right. So
that's new ones being added all the time. So, I mean, it's an ongoing luxury, you know, they're going to have new content and new opportunities for aspiring comedians to come on and have that opportunity to do a special themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Paul. Thank you for spending time with us. Go ahead. Shout out one more time where people can find you at. You have a website too. Is it
PaulMayComedy.com?
All right. Perfect. You guys check it out. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you again, Paul. Please like, subscribe, go check us out on YouTube, go to Instagram, at Paul May Comedy on Instagram, at the Clean Comedy Podcast on Instagram, and like, follow, subscribe, all that stuff. And thank you guys very much. Have a good one. Bye.